athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day, whether you're listening on one of our newest affiliates out of Montgomery on WUMO FM 94.5. Of course, talking about Montgomery, Alabama. Perhaps you're listening in Baton Rouge on KBRS FM 106.9 or on KKAY 1550. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Let me set the table for you because we got a lot to get to. As a matter of fact, in this segment, because we have three guests lined up for you today here on the program. The Lincoln Lions, CIAA tournament champions for the first time. And I can't remember if the Lions won a CIAA tournament championship back in the day, but since Lincoln has rejoined the CIAA, going back, I guess, now some 15 years, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it is, first CIAA tournament championship, Jason Armstrong in his second season as the head coach of the Lions. He's going to join us today on the program. The Lions await to see who they're going to play in the NCAA regionals beginning on next week. Also joining us today here on the program, Greg Coleman, who played 10 seasons in the National Football League as a punter. As a matter of fact, he's the first black full-time punter in the National Football League. Played his college ball at Florida A&M. He's an HBCU legend. Well, this is the second year that he's the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet, which is taking place on next weekend in Jacksonville, Florida. Promises to be a really, really good time. And looking forward to talking with Greg Coleman and really shedding some light on this Bob Hayes Invitational. You talk about Bob Hayes. Bob Hayes, one of the Pro Football Hall of Famer, I mean, known as the Bullet at the time, back in the 60s, the fastest human being on earth, Bob Hayes. And so the Invitational, as a matter of fact, it's the 60th year or the 60th anniversary of the Bob Hayes Invitational, and Greg Coleman, former National Football League player, going to join us as he's the executive director. He's going to talk about the Bob Hayes Invitational. Also joining us today here on the program, look, last week we had WWE superstar Jey Uso on the program, and of course he's of the Anoa'i family of wrestlers, right? And so we're going to be joined by another member of that family, another WWE superstar, Nia Jax. Nia Jax also going to join us today here on Box to Row. Look, you can participate on the program. Hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, BOXTOROW. Follow us while you're there. You can also, if you have a comment, anything you want to say, you can also hit me up on my personal Twitter account at DWare1, at DWare1. So I guess maybe the first of the year, maybe our second or third show, maybe the third show into 2024, I mentioned that I was not going to talk necessarily anymore about NIL. I mean, we're always going to talk about it, but not anymore. You know where I stand if you've listened to this show and the transfer portal, but it has come up again. I mean, it's where we are. So it is what it is. So it's, you know, we can talk about it until we're blue in the face. I happen to be one of those. I think the players and the student athletes should be compensated in some manner. I just don't think the way in which the NIL is structured is the way to compensate student athletes. Certainly with the transfer portal, not on board with that as well. I guess I'm just old school in that way, which is fine. And I'm an old college administrator, worked in college athletics back in the day as well. I just think that's just where I stand on it. But the reason we're going to talk about it a little bit today here on the program, because Nick Saban recently retired. Nick Saban, more recently, the head coach at Alabama, is maybe the greatest college football coach of all time in terms of championships, national championships. I mean, it's not disputed there. But he shed some light. Not only did he shed some light into his thoughts on the transfer portal and NIL, but I think he really shed some light into why he actually retired abruptly. I mean, this was an abrupt retirement. You're talking about an Alabama team. Yeah, it wasn't part. It didn't make it. Didn't win the playoff. Okay, didn't win the national championship this year, but still had a really, 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 really good season. Made it to the CFP, and was poised to do some big things on next year. So you'd have to wonder, you know, much like maybe with Coach K, who I'll tie into this, and Roy Williams, the former coach at UNC, why these coaches are leaving. It's because, especially these older coaches, these legendary coaches, these coaches that have been doing it for quite some time, the way that the system is set up, I mean, these guys, I'm sure, cannot have the energy to be able to really, because recruiting's different on so many levels, not only from a talent standpoint, but now you have to look at recruiting based upon if a guy is going to stay in your program for longer than a year. Scholarships, and let's be clear, scholarships, somebody may say, well, you got a full ride. No, maybe in theory you do, but scholarships are a year-by-year deal. So in all fairness to the student athletes, and while I'm not a big proponent of the transfer portal, schools can cut ties with a student athlete after the year is over. It can do that. It is not a full scholarship. It is a year-by-year deal. You can cut ties. You could cut money back. I mean, in instances where a student athlete excels, you can give more money, all of those kind of things. So in fairness to the student athlete. But you've got to, you know, when you're recruiting these guys, you've got to say, okay, I'll have him for his freshman year. We may have to redshirt him. We may not even get a chance for him to fully get in our program if he doesn't want to be redshirted. So I think even more nowadays, coaches have to be clear and upfront. You could, back in the day, you could kind of say different things to student athletes to get them to come to your program, and maybe it would work, and then you may not fulfill. Maybe you wanted to, as a coach, fulfill what you promised or what you said to that student athlete, and maybe you just weren't able to. Now you have to. You got to be clear, okay, because the kids nowadays, and even the parents, want to know the why. Why? You know, it's back in the day, you told a student athlete to do something, they just did it. Now they have to know why you're asking them, right? So it's a whole different thing, and I'm not knocking that. That's fine. It's okay. But I'm just simply saying you have to recruit student athletes a lot differently this day. Well, one of the quotes that Nick Saban said, he had an interview with ESPN and talked about the decision to retire, and also was talking about the team from last year. He said this quote, "I thought we could have a hell of a team next year, and then maybe 70 or 80% of the players you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me? He goes on to continue to say, our program here was always built on how much value can we create for your future and your personal development, academic success in graduating and developing an NFL career on the field, end quote. So that he said a lot, okay? Nick Saban said a lot right there. And it speaks to why he retired. And then it speaks to the bigger deal about NIL, which he talked about, because he's, again, if I'm not going to play, I'm going to transfer. It was, you know, and sometimes, I mean, look, I think what I'm not obviously a fan of the transfer portal. There are reasons to transfer. And I talked about this going back to January. Maybe, you know, a family member gets sick. You want to be closer to home, or, you know, I mean, there the coach, you know, there's something bad about the program. There's various reasons to transfer, with which the NCAA had these reasons in place before it got obliterated and this transfer portal came about. Now guys are just transferring because you said something wrong. They said something they didn't like. You know, it's a different time, and that's where we are. But I think when Nick Saban makes these comments, look, this is something we really have to look at, because ultimately the two are intertwined, because meaning NIL and the transfer portal, also because you may leave to go get money from somebody, another school that's going to pay you more money. And it is so crazy. But back to the Nick Saban points. He makes some excellent points about the transfer portal, about NIL, and he really lets us know, if you read between the lines, this is why I retired. I you know, we got a team, and now you have to reset. Now, sometimes you're going to have to do that. Look, you look at Coach K. Coach K, for years, when you had the one-and-dones, did not adapt to the one-and-done rule. When he finally did, guess what? He won another championship, and in his last year, made a run to the Final Four also. So you have to adapt. I think Nick Saban has been able to adapt in a lot of instances to a lot of things, but I just think that this really drew the line for him. Give me your thoughts. If you have any thoughts on what Nick Saban had to say, what I had to say, hit me up via Twitter, @DWare1, @DWare1. We got a jam-packed show for you today here on Box to Row. Still to come, WWE superstar Nia Jax. Still to come, Lincoln of Pennsylvania head men's basketball coach Jason Armstrong. And still to come, Greg Coleman, the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet. Don't move.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
It's the 60th Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet, March 14 through 16. Track events will be held at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. Thursday, March 14, the annual Hall of Fame Gala at the Potter's House International. Friday, March 15, the first collegiate meet at 10 a.m. and the Coach Day Middle School Track Meet, 5 p.m. On Saturday, March 16, the annual Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet at 8:30 a.m. at Hodges Stadium. For information and tickets, visit bhitm22.org. Presented by the City of Jacksonville and Pepsi.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinancing saved through Rate Genius. And when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341. 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other factors.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
And if I cried two tears for her, that would be the most that I would give to her. She left me stranded in my nightmares, taking pictures of my memories. She right there, twisting on the blade in my heartbeat.
The Lincoln Lions, CIAA Tournament champions, after 3 wins in the CIAA Tournament championship on last week, including the victory over Fayetteville State 54-51 in the championship game. In his second season as the head men's basketball coach of the Lions is Jason Armstrong, as he joins us here on Box to Row. Coach Armstrong, congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. What a run for this team in only your second year. Just talk about the run. 3 wins, Wednesday, Friday, and then the championship game on last Saturday, and the victory over Fayetteville State.
It was an incredible run. It was something that we had talked about from the beginning of the season. We had goals from the beginning of the season, right? So the goal was first to win the North. Then the second goal was to get back to the championship and win it. And then third is we're hoping to make a run in the NCAA tournament. That's our next goal.
Yeah, so you have the different seasons. You know, what I thought was interesting, you look at the CIAA this year, and, I mean, I've been around a long time. I couldn't tell if it was more parity, if it was maybe a down year overall. But, look, you guys won it. But your thoughts on the AA, seemed like it may have been more parity this year, really between both conferences, really one in which you really dominated the Northern Division.
So I'll say this. One of the things I've learned being in the CIAA is that you can't take anything for granted. You can't, regardless of people's wins or losses, right, and whoever's gym you go into, you have to come to play. Because if you don't come to play, you'll lose. It's all about pride, school pride, pride for that jersey that they put on. So it doesn't matter what your record is. As you saw what Bluefield did in their first year, you know, they were just playing. They just played their hearts out in the tournament. And you saw the run that they made. You know, any given night, if you don't come to play in the CIAA, you could lose anywhere. It doesn't matter. I thought the teams this year, I thought everybody was talented. Everybody had talent from top to bottom, all the teams. You know, anybody could beat anybody on any given night. And that's just how this conference is. You know, athleticism, speed, shooting, you name it. It's all in this conference.
Yeah, I think you make a great point in terms of you got to come to play, because maybe this wasn't Bowie State's greatest year. However, that last regular season game, they got you guys, and then you were able to make the run. But that sort of speaks to what you're talking about.
Right. So remember, last year was the same thing. We lost at their place, and then we made a run, right? And then they beat us at our place, and we made a run again this year. But they made a run themselves. So we helped. We kind of probably gave them a spark by them beating us and them making a run themselves. So that's why I said, you got to come to play. If you don't come to play, you will lose.
Jason Armstrong in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at Lincoln, as he joins us here on Box to Row, the Lions champions of the CIAA. I think this is the first time since, I believe, Lincoln has brought basketball back. I guess it's been, what, 15 years ago or something like that. So, I mean, that's certainly big kudos to what you've been able to do with the program. Speak to that. 2 years. Like, you know, you took over this program on an interim basis last year, as you mentioned, started to build, make the run, and then you were able to get the tournament championship. Speak to building this program and getting the championship in your second season.
This team was built 3 years ago, honestly, when Corey was here. This team was built. You know, we had the pieces. We just didn't have the experience. And I think with the guys going last year and making it to the chip last year, they tasted that. And so they wanted that taste again to get back to it, but not only get back to it, but to win it. And so when you get there and you lose it, you want to get that back. And so you're going to work even harder during your offseason. You're going to work harder when you get back into your preseason. And so this roster was built to win. These guys are tough-nosed kids from Newark and from New Jersey, from New York, from the Bronx, from Trenton, from Newark, you name it. And, you know, these are just tough-nosed kids that we recruited and kids that work hard every day, on and off the court. They're just not basketball players, but they're also student athletes. And so this team was built to win. And so when they tasted it last year, they wanted to get back to the chip this year and win it.
Yeah, I think you've got a number of really good players on this team. Had a chance to see you play against Shaw back on January the 4th. Reggie Hudson is your guy that like makes everything go. Not only can he score, he's leading the conference in assists at 147. His assist to turnover ratio is off the charts, particularly in this age of college basketball. Speak to what he means to this team.
He's a true floor leader. From New York, a New York point guard. He makes us go. You know, without him, it's tough. You know, there's times when I sit him, and I hate sitting him, but I know he gets tired. But he's the leader on and off the court. Leading the league in assists is not an easy thing, but he loves to get his, you know, teammates involved. He loves to pass, but he can also score when he needs to. And so he knows when and when not to. You know, when do I need to make the assist, when I need to score, and just, you know, getting us going and getting us into the right sets and getting guys the ball when they're hot. And that's the other thing, you know, that's the basketball IQ of him. And he watches a lot of film also.
Jason Armstrong, the head men's basketball coach at Lincoln, Pennsylvania, as he joins us here on the program. Tell us about the mood around campus and in that community where Lincoln is, and even maybe to a bigger degree, the Philadelphia community and the excitement surrounding the championship for the Lions.
I will say the school itself has been just, they have loved on these guys since we've gotten back. We had a luncheon yesterday in the cafeteria, and the cafeteria was packed with all our students at 12:30 yesterday, and they did a special luncheon for us, and we brought the trophies where the students could take pictures with the trophies and everything. And it was just so much love in that cafeteria yesterday. Our president, my AD, you know, they've just been great in helping us. You know, the next step is getting ready for the NC2A, right? And getting ready for the Division II bracket to come out on Sunday, learning who we're going to play, where we're going to play. And just the love these guys have been getting is great. They deserve it. They've worked hard for this.
No doubt. Can you kind of speak to that in regional play? I know, you know, you've had a week, or you'll have had a week or more to prepare. I know a lot of the preparation is about you and what you want to work on, but you know, this is as it is every year, this is a tough regional.
It is. It's a tough region, but we've played three of the teams in this region in our season. And I did the schedule that way to make us get ready for the CIAA when we started. So we played Gannon. We went to their tournament. We played Cal PA at our place, and we've also played East Stroudsburg. And so we're confident in what we do, to, you know, being a different team than what we were in November and December, and being a different team now in February and March.
I can't remember of all of the teams in the CIAA. I think maybe eight of the coaches have championships. Now you're the one that was sort of the newbie. Now you have a championship. It speaks to the level of play in the CIAA where it's been for quite some time. What does it mean to you to kind of be now that coach that can say, I've got a CIAA championship with the 7 or 8 or 9 other head coaches in this conference that have one?
It's a blessing, because you have a lot of what we would call OGs, right, that are in the conference, guys that have been there for a long time and made history and built up their programs. And that's what I'm trying to do at Lincoln, is make this an elite program, just not on a CIAA level, but also on a national level. And that's why we want to do well in the NCAA tournament. We don't want to be like the team that gets in and gets out. We want to try to beat somebody, whoever we play, and make noise I want to put this team on a national level. I want us to be ranked in the country. I want us to be ranked in the region. And that comes down to this team setting that foundation. And that's what this team is doing, because everybody comes back next year. Also, I don't lose anybody. I don't have any seniors. So it's a beautiful thing that these guys come back. So I know for a fact that they're building this foundation of what Lincoln basketball is going to be.
That is a beautiful thing. Now, I got to ask, I would assume you win a championship. You know, these guys, to your point, have been in the program, at least a lot of them, over multiple years. Or is everybody in the day of NIL and the transfer portal and all of that, are all your guys on board to come back for next season?
I will say this. As of right now, they are. I pray at the end of the season, when the season is completely over, I hope that guys will stay. I hope that guys will not get the call up. We had that happen 2 years ago when Zarion Blue got the call up to Ryder. He was player of the year in the CIAA. He went to Ryder. I don't know if his mindset was what he thought it was going to be at Ryder. You know, he didn't really get to play a lot, sat for a year. Knowing that if he would have been on that team the year that we made it last year, he would have been a senior for us that year. It would have been interesting to see what that team would have done with him being player of the year, coming back and leading us. But I always say this, with him leaving, it gave an opportunity for other guys to step up, and other guys did that. And that is the maturity and the growth of basketball, right? And the growth of your team. And that is the part that I liked, even though he left and he had to make a personal decision for himself, that there were other guys that stepped up into different roles. And it made us, a better team. You know what I'm saying? I would have loved to have coached him, but I know that he made a decision for himself. And so, you know, a lot of these kids have to make a decision for themselves and their families if they feel as though they want to move up a level. My guys, they're probably going to get calls. They probably will. They have 1 year left, and they probably will. I mean, that's just the nature of this business, right? Now in basketball, where, you know, these Division I guys are looking at your D2 kids who are really good, and then they try to move them up. And, you know, if that happens, you know, it has to be the best decision for that player and their family. And I have to respect it. And then I have to go out and do what I do best, is recruit and bring in somebody else who can step into those shoes. But I'm hoping that that doesn't happen. And I would love to keep this team together. But you are correct. This is the life of college basketball now.
CIAA tournament champion in your second season as the head men's basketball coach at Lincoln is Jason Armstrong. He joins us here on the program. The Lions are going to find out who they play in the regional tournament. Coach Armstrong, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Lions.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it, Coach Armstrong. WWE superstar Nia Jax is up next.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light, and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games. You know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them, to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third-generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years you get to it. Man, you know what is good, and you're encouraging people to be better and do better, and that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school, and after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the L.A. Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball. To do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. You Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have grown in Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. We're going to keep things moving here. We've got another, as a matter of fact, WWE superstar in the building. Of course, we talked with Jey Uso last week. And you talk about keeping it in the family. Well, that's what we're sort of doing in a way here, right? Nia Jax, known as the Irresistible Force, one-time Raw Women's Champion, two-time WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, joining us here on the program. Look, she's come back. She's absolutely wrecking shop in the WWE, dominating once again as she did previous. Nia, we appreciate the time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. Look, Monday, you know, Liv Morgan comes in, messes things all up. You were dominating the man, Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. And then she just comes in and just... you know, kind of ruins it. But I guess at the same time, you exacted revenge on her as well.
Listen, I understand she has some sort of revenge tour going on because Rhea put her out for months. But I feel as though that has nothing to do with me. You know, I just do what I do. I believe I should be the champion. Everybody who's in my path definitely is going to get some of my squashing techniques. And, you know, she happens to be in the path. So I thought she was, she probably saw how well it was going with me and Becky and then wanted to interrupt because she needs to, you know, put herself in the picture. But she needs to watch out because I'm going to have a little bit of my revenge tour too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't really, like, you're not really concerned. I mean, look, Liv Morgan's a former champion, right? No, I mean, she's, look, I mean, we're not going to, I'm not trying to disrespect. She's a former champion, but you've got your sights set on something bigger right now.
Yeah. You know, Liv, she took some time off, and while she was gone, I've been dominating, kicking butt, so she's not used to that. It's been a little bit. So now I just have to give her a little bit of a refresher, you know, let her know that she still needs to sit back a little bit and wait her turn.
And no doubt about it. That's Nia Jax. She joins us here on the program. As a matter of fact, WWE Raw is going to be right here in Raleigh on Monday, March the 18th. We look forward to that. In the meantime, you can check her out each and every week, Monday, 8 p.m., 7 Central on USA on Raw. So what has it been? I mean, again, you're dominating since coming back in September. What's it been? You know, how does it feel to be back?
It feels great. You know, I feel like I came back with a different perspective on everything. I'm more focused. I have more of a drive, a different kind of goal than before. And, you know, I feel as though I'm surprising people with what I can do, which I've always been able to do. But now this time around, I've just been making sure that I get my point across a little bit quicker than just taking my time. Before, I was a little bit more methodical. I think now it's more get to the point, you know, get these girls knowing where their place is. But I'm having a great time.
You're having a great time letting them know who's in charge. Is
exactly.
That what
you're... Exactly.
But look now, Rhea Ripley's the champ, though.
You know, she is. And she's such a formidable opponent. And I, you know, we had a great match over in Perth at Elimination Chamber. And we went toe-to-toe. And, you know, I think it was the jet lag. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say anything, but she was definitely a difficult opponent. I had a great time in the ring with her. But I'm still coming for that gold because I've been working my butt off. I know I deserve it. And I definitely think I should be at the top of that women's division.
It's interesting. Rhea Ripley's the champ, right? No doubt about it. You know the match I want to see, even though she's not the champion? I want to see you and Bianca Belair. That's the matchup. I mean, Rhea Ripley, obviously, that's the matchup I think we need to see.
I have goosebumps on my neck when you said that. You know, Bianca and I have never had a chance to go one-on-one, and she is such a strong, amazing woman, and you know, watching her career and her title reigns, it's been amazing, but I don't think she's ever faced anybody like Nia Jax. You know, like somebody who is, I mean, I'm 6 feet tall and I'm a big girl. I'm just as strong, if not stronger. It would be difficult for her to stand up against somebody like me. And I think it would be a very amazing challenge for her. And I believe the crowd would love to see that kind of challenge for her. But I mean, they'd be disappointed because I would, you know, squash her. But I would love to get in the ring with Bianca Belair. She's incredible.
I like the third person, by the way, Nia. I like that. You're right. She's never seen a person like Nia Jax. And you're right. I mean, she hasn't. But that's like the next thing I think WWE fans want to see. But I know you've kind of got your priorities, right? I know the next thing, is, as you've talked about, is Rhea Ripley. And you're still fighting or feuding with the man, Becky Lynch, because the man is the man, no doubt about it, but the champ is Rhea Ripley. So you've got a couple of angles here that you're working on.
You know, and that's what I love about our division. There's so many women there. There's so much talent and diversity, you know, and it's cool. Like once I'm on one path, somebody else steps up to the plate and then I have to sit there and handle that. The man, her and I have been dancing and entangled for the last 5 years. I don't think we're ever not going to be dancing in the ring. She's one of the best that's ever done it. And it's great to get in there with her, but she's had her time. She's had her main event. She's had her titles. I think she needs to just step aside and let somebody else have a little bit of the shine. And I think, you know, Monday, if I wasn't interrupted, the man would have been squashed again.
Yeah, it certainly looked that way. Nia Jax joining us here on the program. Monday Night Raw is coming to Raleigh on Monday, March the 18th. So you want to be there. Of course, you can also watch Nia each and every Monday on Raw. That's 8 p.m., 7 Central Time. Nia, can you speak to, you were doing this consecutively, if you go back to 2014 when you started, and it's all in the family for you, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. You had been in WWE on the main roster, shall we say, since 16. Then you took some time away in 2021. What led to that decision?
Well, I just think, you know, at that point, I was having a rough time of trying to balance things within myself. And, you know, if anybody knows anything about WWE, there's no off season. You know, we go 300 days a year and we have a live show every week, if not two live shows every week, if you're on both, and then you got live events. And so it's very nonstop, go, 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 go. And I think I just needed some time to reset myself and refocus. And it was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I say that to anybody who's ever asked me that question. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me, to be able to sit back and really focus on my my relationship with God and get back to who I am. And then coming back with like an even stronger outlook and a perspective.
No doubt. Did you watch while you were away?
Oh, always. I mean, you know, you can't do this job without being a fan. Either you're a fan before, yeah. You're a fan regardless. And so fan for life, and obviously watched all the time. You know, some of my best friends were still here and they still are. And I was in their weddings and then they were performing. Of course, I wanted to support them. So obviously I nonstop watched and saw how amazing the girls were. And I thought, dang, you know, I still had the itch. I'm like, I still need to get back in there and show them, you know, show them that Nia Jax has still got it. And that, you know, she's definitely a tough, tough character to break down.
No doubt about it. The one and only Nia Jax, WWE superstar, joining us here on the program for a couple of more moments. Now, my understanding, you played college basketball?
Yes, I did. I did. I played in junior college, actually. I played junior college basketball, and I actually had a scholarship out of high school, but I ended up modeling in New York City. And then, so when I did a little bit of modeling, I'm like, I kind of miss the athleticism of like getting out there and having fun. And so I went back to junior college and I played, and I actually got a scholarship out of there to play. But then I had I thought maybe I should just go get my business degree and give my body a little bit of a break.
Yeah. You know who else? I don't know. I'm sure that because the athleticism within wrestling is so great, which allowed for you to play basketball and now be in WWE. Raquel Rodriguez played college basketball also. She won a couple of championships while she was playing college basketball.
She's a stud athlete, you know. I can't wait till I get back in the ring with her, because, you know, we went toe-to-toe, two big juggernauts going at it, and she is quite the athlete and extremely strong. So, love getting in the ring with her.
So, you're part of, I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly, Anoa'i.
Yes.
Family of wrestlers. Thank you, because see, I messed it up with Jay last week. I thought I had it right. Yes, but I had to do it phonetically, and so I did it phonetically this time, and I've got it right. So what does that, like, that is a, and I guess I, because I'm a wrestling fan from back in, you know, Jimmy Superfly, Snooker's part of this family. I'm a wrestling person from back in the day also. What does it mean to be part of this family?
You know, it's an honor. It's an honor to be part of the legacy. You know, my dad's first cousin is High Chief Peter Maivia, which is Dwayne's grandfather. And, you know, the fact that he didn't even get to see his legacy out, because his legacy is so incredible now. I mean, look what he passed on. And so being a part of that is such an honor. But I actually love the fact that I can create my own legacy within this legacy. I want to, you know, I love the fact that Nia Jax gets to stand on her own and do her thing and create her own kind of name in this business, and hopefully honor my family in doing so.
And then I watched Raw Monday. I did watch, but I guess I may not have been paying enough attention. You did Rikishi's move in on Monday, right?
Yes, of course you got to do the stink face. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yes, I hit the stink face on Becky. You know, she might not have liked it, but it's what we do. It's a family trait. We have to use it.
And he tweeted about that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So now, were you in Australia recently? And is that's where you were born. Did you grow up there also?
No, so my parents actually met in Sydney. So my older brother and I were born in Sydney, Australia. And it's a funny story that not a lot of people know about, but Dwayne's grandmother was starting her own federation in Hawaii. And so when we were like, when I was around one or almost two, she asked our family to help out. So we ended up moving to Hawaii when I was around 2 years old and trying to help out with the wrestling business. And by then it wasn't really working out, but that's so I moved quickly from Australia to the States. And but I say I was raised in Carlsbad just because that's where I remember most of my youth. But yeah, I was born in Sydney, Australia. So not a lot of people know that. When we went back to Australia, they're like, should we announce that you were born in Sydney? And I'm like, I don't know. I think it'd be weird that the Australian fans would be torn between Rhea Ripley, an Australian, and then Nia Jax, an Australian. They don't know.
Yeah. Last thought. So it's the family business. Is it something you wanted to definitely do? Did you have, dreams and such of doing other things? It's just what you were born to do.
You know what's funny? I wasn't like, I always watched it. We always watched Dwayne growing up and having fun wrestling each other in the room, me and my brothers. And when I decided to do it, I had watched Dwayne come back at WrestleMania 28, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll try. I never dreamed of thinking like, oh, I'm gonna go do this because all the girls were, they were gorgeous supermodels, and I wasn't like this the typical body type. But the second I got in the ring and I had my first tryout and took my first bump and had my first like rope burn on my back, I was like, I was born to do this. Like, this is what I was born to do. So I think it is. It's in our blood. Everybody, we all try to take these different pathways, but some most of us eventually come right back to where our roots start, and that's in wrestling.
Nia Jax joining us here on the program again. She's going to be right here in Raleigh Monday, March 18th, and you can catch her on Mondays, each Monday on Raw USA, 7, or excuse me, 8, and then 7 Central Time. Nia, we appreciate the time. We look forward to seeing you in Raleigh.
Thank you so much. I can't wait. I always like Raleigh. Raleigh's a beautiful place, so I can't wait to be there.
Ah, okay, great. So yes,
Yeah.
we look forward to having you. So
Thank you.
thank you very much. Appreciate it. Nia Jax joining us here on the program. She had a lot to say. And if you missed any part of that conversation, you can log on to the Box to Row YouTube page and check out the conversation. Up next, we're talking Bob Hayes Track and Field Invitational.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinancing through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341, 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other.
Now back to From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Let's continue here on Box to Row. It's something we've done for a couple of years now. As a matter of fact, the Bob Hayes Track and Field Invitational is taking place, as a matter of fact, next weekend in Jacksonville on the campus of North Florida. And the executive director, as a matter of fact, is joining us. Greg Coleman, he played 10 seasons in the National Football League. He's an alum of Florida A&M. He's going to talk about the Bob Hayes Invitational once again as he joins us here on the program. We appreciate the time. Greg, welcome back to the program.
You know, time is something that is very, very precious to all of us, especially when you talk about track and field. You know, milliseconds can separate a gold, silver, or bronze medal. And, you know, we've got some exciting participants this year at the 60th annual. This organization was birthed 60 years ago. And a group of coaches, we'll call them founders, coaches, teachers, former athletes, wanted to find a way to honor the greatest athlete from the city of Jacksonville. And that's Bullet Bob Hayes. Bob Hayes is the only human being that God blew breath in to win an Olympic gold medal and a Super Bowl ring in the National Football League. So as a result, this organization was birthed 60 years ago. And over that 60 years, to look at the number of athletes that have gone on to play in the National Football League is astounding. And I know that we have lost count. I was a participant in the Bob Hayes track meet as a student at Raines High School. And after graduating from Florida A&M, oh gosh, man, I guess I have been the meet announcer since 1976, only missing one that my daughter got married. And the second one was the COVID year. So I have seen a lot of great participants, a lot of great athletes. So I'm just elated and excited to have an opportunity when the baton was passed to me by one of the founders and the meet director, my high school coach, James Day, a couple of years ago, and to see the strides that we are taking in taking the meet to the next level.
No doubt about it. I think it's interesting. And by the way, more information, if you want to participate, sponsorships, tickets, et cetera, bhtim22.org for Bob Hayes Invitational Track Meet. So bhtim22.org. You growing up in Jacksonville, like I believe Bob Hayes was, what, maybe 12, 13 years older than you, but he must have been a legend to you as you were coming up as a great athlete yourself there in Jacksonville.
No doubt about it. You know, Jacksonville did not have a professional team back then, so everybody wanted to be Bob Hayes except me. I wanted to run like Bob Hayes, but did not want to get hit like Bob Hayes got hit, as receivers do. So I made the choice early on that I was going to be a punter and a place kicker, and thank God I was in the right position, right place at the right time to get that opportunity to play 12 years in the National Football League as the first African-American punter at that position. Now, there had been other men of color who had punted a football, but at that position, solely doing nothing else, it's an honor to be called the first.
Yeah, and you were really, really good at it. Played for my team then, I think your last year, the Washington Redskins. You know, certainly at that time, also a big figure in Jacksonville, Nathaniel Washington. Speak about him. I was reading he really started this in what, 64, 65?
Absolutely, he was one of Bob's coaches. And he went to the other coaches at the school over at Matthew W. Gilbert at that time and said, hey, baby, we need to do something. So there were eight founders that all came together, established this organization along with a board, and they have run it for 60 years. This event is older than the Super Bowl. I mean, if you can believe that,
yeah,
you know. So you talk about the legacy, you talk about the sustainability of a great organization that continues to grow. Those men laid some great groundwork that us had the opportunity to glean from. And that legacy continues, that legacy of excellence known as the Bob Hayes Track Meet. I always say that the Bob Hayes Track Meet is more than a track meet. It's an experience. So for all of our guests, our student athletes, our coaches, our parents and fans, and we just want everybody to have a great experience. Now, Raines is still our partner. They still support us. The meet is still sanctioned through Raines High School. So it's just a win-win right now, D, for everybody who's involved.
No doubt about it. Of course, that the voice of the one and only Greg Coleman. He's the executive director of the Bob Hayes Invitational Track and Field Meet taking place next weekend, March 15th and 16th in Jacksonville on the campus of North Florida. HBCU legend, played, of course, as a punter in the National Football League for 10 seasons as well. And Greg, we really appreciate the time. A couple of more thoughts. tell us about the events. This thing has really grown. And by the way, I find it fascinating that since the 70s, you've only missed two meets. OK, as an announcer, now you've been the executive director 2 years. I got to put that in there. That's pretty big. But this thing has really grown over the years. It's you have a high school, college, et cetera.
It really has. Let me give you the rundown, the order of events. Starting next Thursday, we have the Bob Hayes Hall of Fame Gala. And this year, we are so fortunate enough to have four Olympic gold medalists being a part of this 2024 class, starting with Geno Hall, Armand Hall out of South Florida, who went on to win a gold medal in the 2016 Olympics. He was also a participant in the Bob Hayes when he was in high school. Tony McQuaid, an Olympian, gold medalist, 2016. Gerald Morris Clark in the 400 and 800 meters, gold medal, Olympic gold medalist. She participated in the Bob Hayes track meet when she was in high school. Torian Lawrence, a high school kid here from Andrew Jackson, tremendous upstart, great, a great career on the rise. That career was tragically cut short by a car accident. We're honoring him as well. Caleb White, a household name here in track and field in the North Florida area, an Olympic coach himself. He has he's coached two Olympians, gold medalists. He's being honored. Kendall Ellis, a young lady from South Florida, a gold medalist. She is also preparing and trying to get back to the Olympics here in 2024. And then Al Denson, who was a rival of Bob Hayes in high school. They both went to Florida A&M University. Bob was a wide receiver. So was Al Denson, who spent 7-8 years in the National Football League, 7 of those years with the Denver Broncos as an all-pro, the only man to play all four wide positions, wide receiver positions, a tight end, split end, flanker, you know, all of those things. So he's being inducted as well. On Friday, we have what we call a huddle with the legends. High school kids are coming in the morning from 2 to noon. Those Hall of Famers and those legends are going to talk with those kids from high school, talk about what it takes to win, lessons learned, all of those things. And then from 2 to 3:30, we've got the middle school kids coming in, and they're going to get those same conversations. Now, we've invoked something a little bit different this year. We're having a collegiate track meet. We've got about 20 colleges. We call it Run for the Culture. They're coming in. Their meet starts on Friday morning. And we're taking the finals of their sprints, the 100, 200, 4x1, and 4x4. And we're infusing those into the finals of the Bob Hayes on Saturday. But then Friday afternoon, we've got the James Coach Day Middle School track meet. He was one of the founders. He was my track coach. He was one of my mentors and one of my very, very dear friends. So we've got the middle school track meet on Friday afternoon. Now, D, last year we had over 1,500 middle schoolers. Hmm. So that tells you how aggressive and how big the track and field is here down in the state of Florida. And then Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, man, we the granddaddy of them all. That's the Bob Hayes Invitational. And I'm so looking forward to it. We've got some great volunteers, our board, everybody's on board. The community, the city has partnered with us, City of Jacksonville, Pepsi. We've got some great partners that we're going to continue to grow and we're going to continue to go. So Thursday, the Hall of Fame Gala, Friday, the middle school meet, along with the Run for the Culture collegiate meet starting at 8 o'clock. And then Bob Hayes on Saturday afternoon. And Dee, as you mentioned, for more information, you can go to the website, bhitm22.org.
Man, it promises to be an exciting weekend. 60 years of excellence. The Bob Hayes Invitational track meet going to be taking place, as Greg mentioned, on next weekend at North Florida. You heard about all of the different events, and now log on to the website for more information and come on out and support and participate. Greg, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Bob Hayes Invitational.
Hey, thanks a lot, D. One last thing. Sure. We're also presenting 12 young people with college scholarships. So that's what the gala is, the fundraiser. If somebody wants to donate, you can do that on the same site, the BHITM22.org. We're presenting 12 kids. So, you know, my folks didn't have money to send me to college. So college scholarships are at a premium. And we're presenting 12 kids with college scholarships as well.
That sounds good. Greg, we appreciate the time. Thank you for sharing.
Take care, brother.
My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Greg Coleman, Jason Armstrong, Nia Jax for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, log on to BoxToRow.com and don't forget to check out the Box to Row YouTube page. And always remember to support those that support Yo, Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
That will be the most that I can give to her. I am Joseph, Darryl, Jason, Dr. Dre, O'Shea, and a host of those who passed away. Today, I'm Drake, I'm Wayne, 2 Chainz. You say you want to rap to this. You must commit, then you're a slave to your grave. You won't get out, you cannot quit.